Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Murphy and Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report co-hosting today. He's in for Steve Tasker. Going to talk about the Bills a little bit now and some of the rest of the AFC East. Joining us on the line is an NFL.com columnist, NFL Network fantasy analyst, the host of the Adam Rank podcast. Adam Rank is on the line with us. Hello, Adam. John Murphy and Tyler up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
John Murphy, Tyler, what's going on, guys? Thrilled to be on with you. It's an honor. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the honor is ours. You've completed a state of the franchise outlook of most of the league, including the AFC East, including the Bills. And you say the Bills, the headline says, and I know I've read your piece, are viable playoff contenders. What do you see there, Adam?
You know, one of the things that I really like about this team is that they're taking the trajectory that some of the more recent successful teams who've not come out of nowhere but have kind of had a slow build, what they've done, where they start with the solid defense, build that up, and then they have these young quarterbacks who come in and have to take that next step in season two. Now, we've seen that in the last couple of years. Jared Goff did it out here in Los Angeles, and, of course, Mitch Trubisky did it with the Bears. And so if I'm a Bills fan, I'm looking at the way the roster is constructed. I'm looking at the way that Josh Allen finished last season, and I'm like, hey, I should feel pretty encouraged. Now, it's daunting because you always have the Patriots in the division, but I think as a playoff team, the Bills can do it.
Well, first off, Adam, you do an awesome job. I was just telling John, man, you tune in NFL Network whenever you're on. It just it takes that energy level to the next level. I love it.
You're too kind. No. Don't. I'm already going to do the gig. It's fine. You don't have to.
That much. But I guess just to kind of tie in that fantasy perspective that you have, I think, you know, to play devil's advocate with this Bills team, if you're a defense and you're looking at that offense, it's like, okay, like who scares you? Like who is that weapon that you really have to game plan for, whether at running back, tight end, receiver, anybody? I mean, who is that to you? Is there somebody that scares you that you know, hey, is going to be drafted high in fantasy?
Well, that is one of the things that I have to admit, that a lot of times when I'm doing this, I will be swayed by my fantasy bias. And I had Josh Allen on a lot of fantasy teams last year, and he's a viable commodity because of his rushing ability. And that's what makes him so attractive. But it also makes him so difficult to hem in as an NFL quarterback. You know, we see the way the league is going now, that these quarterbacks, who you don't have to necessarily be the 100-yard rushing type, but somebody who can extend plays, allow the guys around him to go out there and do their things, buy them a little bit time, maybe mask some of the problems that you have on the offensive line. Those guys are very valuable. And what we saw out of Josh Allen at the end of last year is that he's really starting to grow. I really do believe he can throw the football. I know a lot of people make the jokes. They make the same jokes for him as they make for Lamar Jackson, with like, oh, this guy's just a running back. You're like, but this is kind of the way football's played now. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, I look at Josh Allen and I look at his athleticism, and it's a very daunting task. These guys are hard to defend, and I think that Josh Allen brings that, and I think that what they did in the offseason with the players that they brought in, but I think that just adding to it, they didn't have the big splash. They didn't have Odell Beckham Jr., but I thought they made some nice moves, and I think this offense is going to definitely be better.
We're on the line with Adam Rank from NFL.com. He has written, State of the Franchise says the Bills are viable playoff contenders. And you list three VIPs for the Bills, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and Tremaine Edmonds. Tell me about McDermott. And maybe, I guess I'm interested in the national profile that Sean McDermott might have after a couple of years and a sub-500 record as head coach of Buffalo.
Well, let's be realistic about what's going on there. And I even mentioned this in the piece, that anytime you see a bald coach, like, I'm in. You've never seen my profile. I'm a bald American, so I always identify with those.
Tyler, Tyler's on board with that
like
as well.
I think that Sean McDermott is a pretty striking figure, if you ask me. But you look at what he did in his first season. When he took over that gig, not a lot of people expected anything out of the Bills in that first season. And lo and behold, they were 9-7, made the playoffs, and was pretty impressive. And then last year, even though they won, what, six games?
Yep.
Doing it with a rookie quarterback who's learning on the job, to me, that is pretty impressive. Like, he's not being equipped with his full arsenal yet. Like, he's halfway there. It's kind of like if you play Madden. I know a couple of weeks ago we were giving out beta codes for the Madden game. It's like a video game in progress. It's like, this is going to be good at some point down the road. Right now it's not great, but he's getting the most out of it. And sometimes when you have that degree of difficulty, being in a division with the Patriots, having it like basically starting with two losses, but still finding a way to be competitive with that club and what they went through last season, I thought that it's pretty good. And if Sean McDermott was ever available on the coaching market, he would not be unemployed for long. It's like that scene or that gag in How I Met Your Mother where Ted's kind of waiting for that girl to break up with a boyfriend because every time she does, she has a new boyfriend in like 3 seconds. That's what it would be like if Sean McDermott was ever relieved of his duties, which I don't anticipate because I think he's a great coach.
I think a lot of talk here right now anyways, it's at running back. And who do you see as the number – or just starting week one, we should say. I mean, who's going to be the number one back week one for Buffalo?
Yeah, it really is. It's interesting because they have these three veteran guys. Obviously, LeSean McCoy's there, been there for a while. They bring in Frank Gore, who, while he's 36, I don't think that matters. I think he's going to go out there and perform to the best of his abilities, and I think he's a solid running back. And, of course, they brought in T.J. Yeldon, who I always thought was pretty good coming out of Alabama. But the guy that I'm most excited about is Devin Singletary. I mean, you watch his tape and you watch his film. I didn't watch him a lot when he was in college, but then going through the draft process, I really liked him. I thought that he was going to be a good asset for whatever team got him. And I make this point in our State of the Franchise series that this will be one of those things, one of these storylines where we look back on his career and we'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot that when he started, there were all these veteran guys ahead of him, but he ended up emerging and being the superstar. And I think that he kind of has the skill set that's going to play very well with Josh Allen, and I'm excited to see how they're going to work this out. So right now, the headliners are out there. They're doing their thing, but I think that Devin Singletary is the guy you definitely have to watch out for.
NFL.com columnist Adam Rank on the line with us. He wrote the Bills' State of the Franchise. This line intrigues me, Adam, in the column that you wrote. The Bills, the one storyline people are overlooking, you write, the Bills' receivers are pretty good. Make that case for me. What do you see?
Yeah. Listen, I kind of like what they got going on. I thought that John Brown was a perfect pickup for them. I mean, obviously, one of the strengths of Josh Allen is his arm and throwing the football a long way down the field. And Smokey Brown has been one of the best deep route runners in the NFL for quite some time, going back to his days with the Arizona Cardinals. Last year, he was kind of miscast with the Baltimore Ravens, where they weren't really going to take advantage of his skills. It's like if you gave my toddler a BMW, like, it's cool, like, it's nice. I'm sure she'd appreciate it, but she can't drive it. She's not going to be able to do that for 12 years, so what use is it? So now you put him in a team that can actually use a player like him. So you got him stretching the field. You go out and you get Cole Beasley, a guy who can work the slot. I think that that's a pretty great low-key pickup, and I don't want to put this kind of expectation on him or anything, but it's very similar to what we've seen New England do all these years. When they get those slot receiver types, when they get Wes Welker, you know, they get players in like that, Wes Welker, Amendola, Julian Edelman, I think even Brandon Cooks when you mix them in too. Like, those guys go out there and they can have a very good role. And then, of course, my guy Robert Foster. Foster's my guy, and I will die on this hill. I thought that he was great at Alabama. I thought he was going to be a good pro. He came out, he ran the, what was he? He was fifth, I think, in the 40 when he was going through the combine. He was invited. I'm like, okay, this guy's got some skills. I love these SEC guys. I think they just translate well to the NFL game. And last year, it kind of, you know, didn't work out. I know that I'm preaching to the choir with this one, but it obviously didn't start off well. But sometimes, you know, getting cut and getting humbled and getting refocused is exactly what a player needs. And what we saw at the end of the season, I think, is going to help make him a big star in this league. And when you have guys like John Brown and Cole Beasley, who are established veterans, who will draw some of that heat. We talked about it just a moment ago. Like, who on this team scares defensive coordinators? Obviously, they're going to be looking at Josh Allen. They're going to be looking at stopping the deep passes with John Brown. And you know what? Robert Foster can get loose down the field as well. And as long as Josh Allen starts working on his accuracy a little bit, I know there's There's some things, you go back, you look at the film, we've seen some breakdowns. Like, there's some things he can work on, but I think that Foster has the ability to do it. And again, it's not a headline thing. It's not getting Odell Beckham Jr. It's not trading for Antonio Brown. But you know what? Sometimes these low-key moves are the ones that pay off. New England's been doing it for the last, 20 years. And I think the Bills made a nice pivot when the whole thing with Antonio Brown didn't work out. And I think the guys that they got are going to be valuable contributors. And I like this offense.
All right, Adam, we got to talk a little fantasy football. Hit me with your big board. You can take it as long as you want. Give me five, your top five overall. Mock them out here.
Well, the easiest thing about fantasy this season is that running backs are now the prominent position once again. There was a proliferation of drafting wide receivers over the last number of years, but I think that you go back kind of old school where you're going with running backs, and obviously Saquon Barkley's the number one guy for me, and people will not want to draft him because what about the talent around him? And I understand that, but remember when we had peak Adrian Peterson, in his second season, he had that breakout rookie year. His second season, he rushed for 1,800 yards. His starting quarterbacks were Gus Bradley and Tavares Jackson. I don't even remember who the receivers were. Adrian Peterson was the only person on that offense, and he went out there and did well. Now you look at Saquon Barkley. He has the ability to rush for 1,800 yards. They might not be in enough of positive game scripts that will call for it, but he's easily their top receiver as well. He had 91 a season ago. He could get 100 receptions. He could go 1,000. So Saquon Barkley is very easy. It's an easy pick for me, followed by Alvin Kamara for the same reasons that I was just talking about a second ago. Kamara has been crushing it, even though he's had to split some time with Mark Ingram. But now that he's gone, you put Latavius Murray in there. And Latavius Murray's fine, but he's not the receiver that Mark Ingram was, which means more receiving opportunities for Alvin Kamara. So if you wanted to slide him into number one, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to stop you. But he's my number two guy, followed by Christian McCaffrey. Then we have Ezekiel Elliott. And then at number five, this might surprise a lot of people, I love Le'Veon Bell this season. And one of the reasons is Adam Gase, they fired the GM. They were upset with the money that they spent on Le'Veon Bell. And this seems to me like this is going to be a one-and-done situation. Like, they're not going to want to pay him that long-term money. So they're like, you know what? They're probably already thinking about their next spend next year. So they're like, you know what? For the coming season, we are going to run Le'Veon Bell into the ground because we don't have a long-term plan for him. And, again, like Saquon Barkley, he's probably the best receiver on that team. He's going to touch the ball at least 400 times. I think he's out to prove something as well. So I really do believe as long as Adam Gase doesn't give him the business like when he was ignoring Kenyon Drake last year, I think that Le'Veon Bell could be a solid number five, followed by David Johnson, who I think is going to have a rebound this season in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I know a lot of people are worried about the offensive line in Arizona, but they had some injury problems. But the one way that you overcome any sort of injuries or ineffectiveness of the offensive line is to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand very quickly, and you do that with short passes, which is what Kingsbury did at Texas Tech. So those are my top six right now. And then you start with the wide receivers like DeAndre Hopkins and go on from there.
And I'm on the topic of running backs. You did an interesting Twitter poll asking your followers the other day, who would you rather have, Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey? How did you settle on those two, and how did that poll turn out?
Yeah, you know, it was running. I haven't checked recently, but for most of the day yesterday, it was running about 50-50. I think that the conversation of which one is more effective, it's very close. It really is hard to really choose between one or the other. It's like when you're debating whether you like Star Wars Episode 4 or if you like Empire. They're both great. I can hear the arguments for each of them. I will, of course, side with Empire, but that's just me, and I'm not going to besmirch, and I'm not going to disparage anybody who wants to talk about New Hope. That's fine. That's your call. For the reasons I talked about Kamara a moment ago, without Mark Ingram there, with an offense that's really been leaning on the run over the last couple of years, Drew Brees didn't get 4,000 passing yards last season. Now, obviously, he did take week 17 off. He could have reached it if he was really involved and really inspired to get that milestone. But what we've seen over the last couple of years is that Drew Brees is throwing the ball less. They're running the ball more, which means more opportunity for Kamara. more opportunities to catch the football, even though Mike Thomas is there, but I still like that. Christian McCaffrey is interesting, too, because, you know, they're probably their top receiver, although DJ Moore is starting to come on in Carolina, but Christian McCaffrey is one of their top receivers. He runs the ball. All three, I'm going to throw Barkley into this, but all three of those guys are candidates to go 1,000. And almost, in some respects, I almost wish that I'm picking third, because then I don't have to make the decision. And you're just like, okay, well, I had to settle for Kamara or McCaffrey, and I would be happy with either one of them. But it's interesting to see how it's shaking out. I think the quarterback situation in Carolina also worries people if Cam's going to be able to stay healthy. And when Cam is healthy, he also steals some of those goal line touchdowns that Drew Brees doesn't. So that's also another factor in there. But we're splitting hairs at this point. We're trying to make a case for guys who are excellent. But, you know, I guess there can be only one. So I guess I do go Kamara, I guess, to answer. A long-winded way to answer that question. I could have just answered it, but I had to go through 55 minutes of that and take up your whole show. But I apologize for that.
Hey, Adam, how many fantasy leagues are you in?
96. No. You know what? I always get asked, and I do, I'll do dumb things, and like people will ask, and they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, and I don't really know, because I always use the NFL.com or the NFL Fantasy app. It's all right there, and if I can give a small plug for our app, they're redoing it right now, and all the programmers and the engineers and all these guys are doing such a great job. Listen, I'll be honest with you, the app wasn't great a couple of years ago, but it's really getting good. I'm going to keep it real with you. It's really getting good. And so I'm always happy to like jump on. As long as everybody plays on NFL.com and the NFL Fantasy app, I'm happy to jump in. But I believe the total right now, which I don't think is that bad, 18.
Ooh.
That's manageable. It is. Listen, it's my job. It's not like my boss is going to come and look over my shoulder and say, what are you doing spending all this time on your fantasy team? In fact, it goes the other way. They're like, you're not spending enough time. You go in there and work the waiver wire. So I'm already in that space anyways. So it's like, what are you going to do? So it's a lot of fun. It actually makes you, it's like when you were in college and those semesters where you took extra classes, you can't afford the slack. It actually makes me more in tune because I can't fall behind for a second, and it's still easier than doing fantasy baseball. So I think that it's okay.
And I got one more for you, non-fantasy question, because you have written the state of the franchise for several NFL teams, including the AFC East. Bills and Jets, both with second-year quarterbacks, first-round draft picks a year ago. In what way are they similar, and how do you differentiate between those two? Because many of us happen to think that's maybe the Bills' rivals now in the AFC East in terms of kind of replacing the Patriots. Bills and the Jets this year, how do you see that shaking out?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will point out that I wrote all 32 state of the franchise pieces. That was about, 75,000 words or whatever.
Whoa.
I know. But it's been a lot of fun. Like, my job is not difficult. Like, let's be realistic. Like, I'm writing about football. Oh, my, woe is me.
Yeah.
Please feel sorry for me. But it's one of those things. I look at the Jets, and like you said, they're very similar. I like Sam Darnold an awful lot. He's a local kid. I'm out here in Southern California, so I've seen him since high school, going all the way on through to USC. So I've had a keen interest in his career. We both hate the Soro High School, which was his rival. So we both kind of bonded over that. And I love that they have Le'Veon Bell. The receivers, you know, they got nice receivers too. They got kind of an underrated receiving core, similar to the Jets. I think when Chris Herndon comes back, I think they have a little bit of the edge at the tight end position. But I think the Bills have better receivers, even though Robbie Anderson is pretty nice. The defense for the Bills, to me, like, that's a runaway. I think the Bills are much better off defensively. That's not even – I don't even think that's worth discussing. And we didn't even mention them. They got Ed Oliver. Like, yeah. What a great draft pick for the Bills. Like, how this – well, thankfully the Giants were doing dumb things, but such a great draft pick. So the defense for the Bills, cutting away, is way better. Just way better. But the thing is, we talked about Sean McDermott. The one thing that scares me – about the Jets is that they went for Adam Gase, and I'm trying to figure it out. Like, what were they doing? Like, what happened in those last 3 years down in Miami that the Jets brass were watching and they're like, we got to have this guy as our coach. Like, were they watching it? They're like, if we had Adam Gase, we would be like, I don't understand what it was. And I know that Adam Gase has been living off this reputation for, he was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos when Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns. He also had Jay Cutler have one of his best seasons in the NFL when he was the offensive coordinator. And I'm like, okay, let me see if I can get this straight. You're billing this guy. What he did, he was able to coach one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the all-time great quarterbacks, and he also coached Peyton Manning. And that is what you're saying is driving. This is a guy. Of course, like a lot of people would have great success with Cutler and Manning. So I don't understand where a lot of that is coming from. But
Tebow like, mania.
Maybe you know whatever it is. I mean, maybe he is good. And then all that would be great. But what they really need to do is they need to take Dowell Loggins' key card and hide it from him and not let him into the building. Because that's the guy. That's the one thing. Like every Jets fan that comes up, and I do predictions, and I'm like, I think the Bills are going to have a better record than the Jets. But like, why? And I'm like, Dowell Loggins. I'm more sold on the Bills defense and the Bills coaching staff than I am the Jets. I thought there was a questionable move. You know, I don't know. Maybe they saw something. Maybe they saw something that I didn't. Maybe he didn't get a fair shake in Miami, but I saw the way that he used Kenyon Drake, which was frustrating. And again, this comes from a fantasy perspective, I'm sure. But I didn't see that offense really take a step forward. I didn't see that he helped out Ryan Tannehill all that much. So to me, it looks like the kind of situation too, and I even wrote this in the piece, that when you bring in an Adam Gase and a Greg Williams, like, you must think that you can win right now. And if it does not start working out, who's going to start paying the price for that? Who is going to be the scapegoat? Is Dowell Loggins going to get fired? Is Adam Gase going to be a one and done? Like, there's so many things going on with that team that I think that it's easy to see them implode and kind of actually not be as good as they were last year, where I see the Bills are just building and ascending. And to me, that seems like a team that's on the rise. All their moves make sense. I'm like, I'm down with everything that they're doing. So to me, and I know that I'm, again, preaching to the choir and I should face the congregation, but I think the Bills are in a much, much better spot than the Jets right now.
Adam, thanks for this. We enjoy your perspective. Keep up the good work with your dozen and a half fantasy teams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, no, I appreciate coming on. I hope I didn't make everybody turn the radio off. I know that I'm obnoxious, but that's okay. I'm used to it. I appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you and talk about a team that I kind of like. I think this is a fun team. I'm going to be looking forward to see what the Bills got going, and I know the fans out there are amazing. Every time I go out to Canton or do anything like that, the Bills fans are always some of the best. So kudos to you guys. I hope it works out for you. I hope you can challenge the Patriots this year, but I really do believe, I sincerely believe that you guys are going to be in that playoff hunt.
Excellent. Thanks, Adam. Adam Rank, NFL Network fantasy analyst, NFL.com columnist. He's written State of the Franchise on all 32 teams, including the Bills. He says the Bills are viable playoff contenders in 2019. We'll talk about that. Tyler Dunn is our co-host today. We'll come back, talk about that. We'll talk about the Buffalo defense. Where will the Bills take the biggest step forward on defense this year? We got phone lines open if you'd like to discuss. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy with Tyler Dunn here until 3 o'clock today. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. It is One Bills Live. We are midway through the show. John Murphy with Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report. He is co-hosting today and tomorrow in place of Steve Tasker. Want to know from you, what would be the Bills' best step forward on defense this year? We know they're pretty good defensively, but what would be the best thing they could do to get better on defense? We got phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550. 550 2550, or you can vote on our Twitter poll. On the Twitter poll, it's getting interesting response from those who are engaged in our Twitter poll. 41% say the best thing the Bills can do is to get more sacks. 29% say more turnovers. 26% say better red zone defense. 5% have something else in mind. So give us a call. Vote on Twitter, send in a tweet, or give us a call. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Tyler, Steve's been teaching me this game. We play a new game here now called What's for Lunch?
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Because when we're on What's for Lunch, you pick good and bad. Chicken wings, good. A carp on between two slices of Wonder Bread apparently represent bad for lunch. So that's what we're going to play right now. What's for lunch? What would you rather have? That's what we're asking here. Let's go through a couple of NFL issues. What's for lunch? What would you rather have? What's for lunch, Tyler? Baker Mayfield, is he cocky or is he confident?
Man, I'm going to say...
These are not easy. I'm giving you a warning right now.
Yeah. I'm going to say cocky, but I think it's a good thing. I mean, this is a team, a franchise that's just lived in misery since they returned in 99. They need this shot, this jolt of adrenaline, of energy. They haven't had that at the position really anywhere on their team since then. So Baker Mayfield will give you that. I mean, hey, he's staring down Hugh Jackson on the sideline. He's week to week, you don't know what you're going to get, but he backs it up. He backs it up. I mean, he kind of like just thrives off of it. It's almost like it's his oxygen. It gets him going out there on the field. Yeah, I think cocky, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's what the Browns need.
I think he's cocky. I think you're right about that. I have to say I didn't watch as much of Baker Mayfield as many did last year, but I will this year because they're a much more interesting team, and the Bills play him on November 10th, as a matter of fact. But I'll go with cocky. I think he's cocky. Here's what worries me about him, and I don't lay up in bed at night worry about this. But Jarvis Landry can go off the reservation. Odell Beckham can get loose once in a while. How does cocky Baker Mayfield, handle that? That would concern me if I were concerned at all about the Browns.
Right. I mean, it's inevitable. They're going to butt heads at some point. I mean, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., it's – at some point this season, they're not going to see eye to eye. It's going to get ugly. But, I mean, I'm sure you talked to, the quote-unquote bickering Bills. I mean, that can be a good thing for a team to work through something like that. I mean,
maybe long-term, but not immediately. That wasn't good in 89 to have that eruption.
But it was good to have those personalities. It was good to have those egos. It was good to have that talent. The Browns have all of that, and it's going to come to a head at some point, and they're probably just going to have to work through it like that team did.
And I'm not portraying myself as an expert on the 89 bickering Bills, but that wasn't necessarily guaranteed that they would have that eruption. They'd work through it and be good after that. That could have torn the team apart.
Totally.
There were strong personalities in the coaching office, Marv Levy and Bill Polian, who kind of rode that and made sure that they continued on with that group and got things in order. I don't think that's a guarantee, though. And maybe it's less likely now in the current social media era, and there's so much more money at stake, less likely to get through that successfully now than there was back in 1989. I would make that argument, too.
It definitely took Jim Kelly swallowing a little bit of his ego at that time, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know better than me, but he definitely had to look himself in the mirror at that moment and kind of put a little blame on himself, and he did, and things worked out. So there's going to be that come-to-Jesus moment at some point, yeah. I think, for these Browns. But it's to compare them to, four Hall of Famers is a little bit much right now, but they've got more talent on offense, I think, than anybody in that division for sure, maybe anybody in the AFC.
All right, what's for lunch? What do you prefer? What do you want? Here's your choice now, Tyler. 2019 season, who will have a better record, the Cincinnati Bengals or the Pittsburgh Steelers? Better record in 29, Bengals or Steelers?
Boy,
I think this is easy.
It's the Steelers. I get it. You let Bell walk. You let Antonio Brown walk. That's not good to lose that, but they've got Juju Smith-Schuster. They've got James Conner. They're really high on James Washington. And Ben Roethlisberger's not going anywhere. I think the Steelers are the Steelers. And look, I was out at Cincinnati's training camp last summer, John, and I mean, I took that hook, line, and sinker, kind of like do with the Browns now. I thought the Bengals were a playoff team. If they stayed healthy, maybe they would have competed for a spot, but A.J. Green wasn't A.J. Green. Andy Dalton was Andy Dalton. So I don't think you can expect the Bengals to make any kind of jump. They are what they are at this point.
All right. I would say the Steelers for sure. I think that's an easy one. What do you have? What's for lunch? Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr? Who will have a better bounce back year in 2019? Derek Carr with the Raiders, Kirk Cousins with Minnesota. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I'll go Kirk Cousins.
Will you?
You know, he's got the weapons, Thielen, Stephon Diggs. They're going to run the ball more. You know, they got a little too pass-happy at times. I think they'll set up those big plays better this year with a little bit more direction on offense. With the Raiders, I know they've made
weapons,
all the flashes.
They've added weapons.
Antonio Brown, for sure. But I'm still not sold on John Gruden. I don't know if he really can coach in this era. I mean, he was away from the game, and maybe not the game, he was up in the booth, but schematically, X's and O's wise, away from it for a long time, and I didn't see anything last year that suggested he's really adapted quite yet.
All right, I'll give you that, the coaching part, but I do think Derek Carr has a better skill set and just better equipped to play the position than Derek Cousins. I really do. He's had a couple of less than stellar years coming off the injury from now, 3 years ago, I guess it would be, 3 seasons ago. But I think Carr has a lot more to give. I'm not writing him off as a bona fide big-time NFL quarterback. I agree with you. I see what you see on Gruden, but I think there are good weapons around him, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if Carr is kind of feeling the pressure, like, oh, I got to get back to where I was a couple of years ago. I was one of the top ones in the game, and now I've dropped off. We'll see. Lastly, on What's for Lunch, which would you rather have? This goes to kind of your John Gruden analogy there, too. Peyton Manning could have been a better broadcaster or general manager. Remember they were talking about him as a potential general manager, or at least somebody. Were the Jets going to bring him in or somebody?
Yeah.
Somebody
was
going to bring him in.
That's right.
Would he have been a better – he's neither. Neither a general manager or a broadcaster. Which would he be better suited for?
Oh, man, you know,
don't overthink this, Tyler. Don't overthink
it. I'm going to say he'd make a better GM because I think that we always think these players would just be, oh, he'd be great in the booth. He'd be great in the booth. I mean, Peyton Manning kind of was honest and said, I wouldn't be able to be honest in the booth like I should be in that position. I mean, look at how bad Jason Witten was. I think everybody thought Witten would be great. He never said anything, really. Week to week, it was a yawn fest. So, I mean, who knows what kind of GM Peyton Manning would be, but I think that self-awareness as a broadcaster, he would have been a pretty bad broadcaster.
He is a great commercial spokesman, right? You've seen him doing commercials. He's hilarious.
But that's very, you know, you can prepare for that. Yeah. Scripted. It's a tough position up in the booth, I think.
I think you're overthinking it. It's not that hard.
I've been
in that booth for a while, and it's only local radio, but it's not that hard.
Give yourself some credit, Murph.
You got to be on top of it to be a general manager. You got to know what's going on with your team, every other team. You got to know about scouting. You got to have kind of contacts throughout the scouting world. No way. He'd be a much better. It's a much easier job is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Come on. Being a broadcaster than being a general manager.
I don't know.
If you're doing it right, it's a much easier job.
I'm going to try to talk myself into this one. He made everybody better in Indianapolis already. He didn't have all the talent around him all the time, but make him GM. Let's see it.
Hey, let's get back to the Bills when we return, and who'll take where will the biggest step forward be on defense? Give us a call. We'll discuss. We'll read from the tweet sheet. Want to remind you that we're going to training camp a week from today. Our first show, Steve and I, will be at Bills training camp on Thursday, July 25th, a week from today. And a week after that, 8 days after that, it's the return of the blue and the red, the Bills night practice, coming up Friday, August 2nd, 6:15, right here in New Era Field. Gates open at 5:15. There'll be interactive games. They'll have photo opportunities for you and players and coaches, much more. You get to watch practice. It is Friday, August 2nd, 2 weeks from tomorrow, 6:15, return of the blue and red. You need a ticket. And you need to get a ticket, you got to get a voucher. And you can get the voucher at these locations, Tops Markets, Mount Reed Boulevard in Rochester, Tops Market, Maple Road in Buffalo, 7-Eleven, Southwestern Boulevard in West Seneca, Crosby's on Main Street in Clarence, Sunoco A-plus Main Street in Waynesville. Get your voucher there, and then you can get a ticket on your phone. And you can come to see practice, the return of the blue and the red, coming up Friday, August 2nd, 6:15 at New Era Field. Tyler Dunn and I return after this. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Steve is out and Tyler Dunn is in from Bleacher Report here until 3 o'clock today. Tyler will be back with us tomorrow. Got a pretty good topic on the table. What area would the Bills take the biggest step forward on defense in this year? What do you think about that? You can tweet in a response. You can vote in a Twitter poll. You can give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2000. 800-919-2550. Let's take a call about another topic. Jerry calling from Montana. Hello, Jerry. Thanks for listening. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent.
I love you guys. I watch you out here all the time.
Thanks, Jerry.
I'm an old Wyoming quarterback. I've called in before. But your question was, what do you think's the most important thing for the Bills to get going this year?
Yeah, we were talking about defense, but you got something else you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Well, I thought since they've got some new guys coming in on the O-line, it would be to get that solidified, hitting on all cylinders, so Josh doesn't have to be in the eye of a whirlwind, and that they can get their offense going, hold the ball, stay on the field, and make other teams pay.
That would be great. Are you, Jerry, are you you played quarterback at University of Wyoming? Is that what you told us? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Give me your thoughts on Josh Allen, what you thought of him when he was with Wyoming, and what do you think of him after 1 year in the league?
Well, it's like when I called in last fall, I called in because at the time it was before he had made a resurgence with the Bills. And I said he was so fresh, so inexperienced. He really only played, at the time, I thought it was 17 games. I can't remember what it was now. But he didn't have a lot of game time in college. Only 2 years, and he had a couple games he was hurt. And his quarterbacking skills, like clock management, getting the ball out of bounds, staying in the pocket, moving up in the pocket, throwing straight up the field, those things he was really lacking in. He had a habit to always throw deep to the right, trying to run. And he started out with the Bills doing that same thing. So I thought he really came on. He really looked good. And I didn't see those old habits of his surface.
One more question I have for you, Jerry. What would be the best area of improvement for Josh Allen in his second year in the league? What do you think? What are you looking for?
I think he needs to figure out a way to keep calm. He has to be mentally prepared. He has to visualize what he's going to do on every play. And quit the old-fashioned bailing out of the pocket to the right. Try to step up in the pocket, and if he can't do that, throw the ball away into the ground.
Sounds good. Jerry, thanks. You got another call on the line here, Tom in West Seneca. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air with us.
John, Tyler, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I couldn't agree more with what Adam Rank had to say about Josh Allen and our bid for the playoffs. I couldn't agree more, 110%. And I must say that when he talked about a short passing game, which in his essence the West Coast offense, I think the West Coast offense can also, there's got to be a mix of it. Don't forget, Joe Montana did the West Coast offense to perfection, but Joe Montana doesn't have the arm that Josh Allen has. That being said, an improvement in our zone defense would be tremendous. I think we could do much better there. And these short passing games, the West Coast offense, in essence, is a good thing. And I think it would also open up our running game. And what I would like to see used more is the, not all the time, just once in a while as a little surprise, is the no huddle. And I think Josh Allen, if he did his homework in the offseason, he's going to come back a much better quarterback. And I didn't think he was that bad last year for his first year. And that gentleman, I think, is pretty much it. And thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Tom. I don't think it'll look anything like a West Coast offense, the Bills. What do you think, Tyler?
I agree with you, Murph. I guess in theory, on paper, like, it sounds great, right? That rhythmic passing game and incorporate some no huddle, keep defenses on their toes, death by a million paper cuts, whatever you want to call it. But that's just not Josh Allen's strengths. I mean, maybe he does kind of develop into this West Coast, you know, surgeon out there. But what he does really well is throw it deep, run, use his athleticism. I mean, he has gifts that other quarterbacks don't have. If I'm the Bills, I'd want to accentuate those gifts and play to his strengths instead of, you know, try to force that square peg into a round hole.
I do think there'll be a different, I don't know, focus, but at least a different element. I'm hoping there's a different element to the Bills' passing game in terms of short passes, right, throwing underneath coverage, not having to force the ball downfield all the time. But I don't think it'll be, you know, three-step drop, balls coming out, quick passes exclusively. I don't think it'll look like that at all. What do you think?
I don't think so either. And you know, what I'm really interested to see, too, is are they going to try to, like, neuter what he does best? I mean, he's a 1,000-yard runner, really.
Yeah.
He can keep defenses on their toes and keep defensive coordinators up at night with his legs. Now, do you want him to play it safe? Do you want him to slide more? Do you want him to stay in the pocket more? That's going to be really interesting this training camp to see kind of what the coaching staff wants him to do. If I'm the Bills, heck, I'm giving him the green light to go, and I'm risking all. Yeah, he might get hurt, but this is what he does well. This is how you can beat teams, and you have a weapon that other teams don't have. Baker Mayfield, you know, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, they're not doing this kind of stuff. Maybe Lamar Jackson is in Baltimore, but, you know, I would try to accentuate that ability that Josh Allen has in every way possible.
Me too. All right, Tyler Dunn is with us. 1 hour to go. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Senior Bowl. I know it's in January, but they had a recent scouting seminar for NFL players, former NFL players at the Senior Bowl. We're going to talk about that with our guest, Jim Nagy. He's executive director of the Senior Bowl. We'll talk with him about some of the Buffalo Bills rookies who were at his game in Mobile last January. Come on back for that. Also, let's get your phone calls. Let's talk more maybe about the Buffalo defense. That's our Twitter poll today. Where will the Bills take the biggest step forward on defense in 2019? Let us know what you think. An hour to go. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.